to me, that was an awesome sign that, yeah, we are living in a time now where people care deeply about being parents and they're willing to share.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by TilePix. How many great photos and memories do you have on your smartphone? When was the last time you put one of those photos into a frame to put into your home? Many of us just don't have the time or the right equipment to make those pictures look right. Thankfully, TilePix came up with a way to help you take your photos from your phone and display them into your home. TilePix has an amazing app and website that allows you to select photos from your phone and computer and put them into beautiful frames that are made right here in the USA. You can display photos in a traditional way or create an artistic design using their split pick setting. The frames are easy to mount on the wall since there are no nails needed. There's a magnetic pad that takes away any use of tape and nails that could damage your walls. TilePix is great for Mother's Day, Father's Day, every other holiday, or just because. Your first order is 50% off. You can either have them shipped to your house or you can get them the same day that you order by visiting your local Walgreens. For more information and to get started, make sure you go to TilePix.com.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Craig Kessler. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Craig. How you doing, sir?
Art, it is good to be here. Happy Monday morning to you, sir.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Looking forward to talking a little bit about Topgolf. You're the COO of that. We're going to talk about how you balance work and family in a second. We're going to talk about your book, The Dad Advice Project, Words of Wisdom from Guys Who Love Being Dads. This is fantastic. It's going to go up on sale in June. Of course, we're going to put links where people can purchase this. I love that you have this book out here, man, especially Art of Fatherhood. This is what it's all about. So we're going to talk about the book in a second, but take me back, man. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, my God. I mean, one of the greatest moments of all time. My wife, Nicole, came to me and said I'm pregnant, and we haven't looked back ever since.
Nice, man. Especially being a COO, being an author, being all of these things, all these hats you wear, you got to have hard work and determination, right? So talk a little bit about some of the values you're looking to instill into them.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things we talk a lot about with our family is work-life integration. It's the idea of letting our kids have exposure to what we do in the office. So if it means my wife opening the door so the kids can listen in on a conference call that she helps lead, or me taking my kids to Topgolf on a Saturday afternoon to try all the new food so they can give us feedback from a 3- and 5-year-old's point of view. We try and make them a part of what we do personally and professionally.
You must have some cool dad street cred. Be like, hey, we're going to go to, you know, we're going to go to work, but you're going to test all the cool new food out there. Like, are you serious? Okay, cool. Right. So they must think like your job's pretty darn sweet, right?
You know, I think they do. The problem is we got to teach them like this is not normal. You don't get to go play mini golf and get a Topgolf bay all to yourself whenever you want. That's something they're very, very lucky to have exposure to. And the good news is, you know, manners are an important thing in all families, households, including ours. And we've made a point to try and get our kids to know Topgolf associates on a first name basis so they can look them in the eye and say please and thank you and recognize that with the privilege also comes just a ton of responsibility to treat people with respect.
I love that, man. That talk about like great core values right there. And also too, like, looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand and all that. Like, I have two daughters, 13 and 10, and we were doing Taekwondo for a bit. There's one guy that stuck out with me. He was kind of like the guy that ran the whole branch. And he said, you know what? If you want to stand out, if you like playing at Timmy's, you know, house and all of this other stuff, when you go there, the next time you go there, look the parents in the eyes and say, thank you, Mr. Douglas. I had a wonderful time and I hope to see you again. And the parents be like, that kid's always coming over, right?
Yes. Yes. You hit the nail on the head. You know, it's funny. Our kids are still young. They're 3 boys, 1, 3, and 5. Okay. And I'm counting down until the days when they have their first sleepover and I get the report card back from, you know, those parents. God, I hope they turn into the kids you just described who can look someone in the eye, shake a hand and say please and thank you. Time will tell.
Great. I love the fact that you like the best, like you said, the report card is when you get it from like teachers or other people, like, oh man, like your son was so great here. He was like helping others. Like, that's what you want. Like, you want to hear, like, especially We're blessed to have two great daughters in school, and they do, you know, different sports and all that. And like, I coach some of them, but just to have other parents come up to you or other teachers, whatever the case may be, being like, hey, so-and-so, like Lily did a great job encouraging her other friend to like be part of this project, or Jordan was making sure that she was vocal when like someone was being made fun of and all this stuff. You're like, they're listening. Yes. Right.
Totally. And you know, it's so interesting. As a parent, just like as a business person, you can only do so much, and you can only prioritize a handful of things that you want your kids to focus on. And for us, you know, as a mom and a dad, my wife and I, we thought about it, and I'm not sure this is right or wrong, but we've got this little mantra when the kids get out of the car, when we drop them off at school in the morning, it's a little call and response type thing where we'll say, be, and they say kind. We say have, they say fun. And we say try your, and they say best. And, you know, for now, be kind, have fun, and try your best. Those are the things we're trying to instill in them.
That is fantastic, because what you said right there, like the three things, is a little bit different. But I remember my eighth grade basketball coach was play hard, play smart, and have fun, right? And that, and I'm 41 years old. I'm far past eighth grade, right? And that still sticks with me. So hopefully that mantra sticks with your kids, man. I love it.
From your mouth to God's ears. I hope it works.
No doubt. For you, what is something about your sons that have taught you about life or yourself in general? Because of course, we're the ones that feel like we need to bestow the advice and the knowledge and all that other good stuff. But kids are doing the exact same thing. And sometimes we learn a lesson from them. So what is something that you learned from them about life or just yourself?
You know, it's actually, I have chills thinking about the question and what I've learned. If I think back to how I wound up at Topgolf, helping lead a team of 20,000 people, the primary reason is I had leaders and mentors who inspired the hell out of me every step of the way. And were it not for those men and women, there's no way I'd have the professional opportunity I have today. And I actually think it's very similar in parenting, where our kids are watching every little thing we do. And I find them replicating things that to me, I didn't even recognize as meaningful things. But for them, they were meaningful things. And the lesson learned there is not just the words that come out of your mouth that matter, but the behaviors and actions we exhibit. You never know what a kid's going to pick up on and think is an important part of their own future. So in a sense, whether it's our own kids or the neighbor's kids, we are constantly mentoring and leading the next generation. And when you realize, again, the power of what that means, it makes you take, you know, your own actions that much more seriously.
Well said, sir. Yeah, well said. I love that. And we're going to get in your book in 1 second, but one more question for you. And I think you're, with your kid's age, I think you're a perfect person to ask this. What is like one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads? Like guys that just found out they're going to be a dad and start their own journey. What would be one big piece of advice you'd have to them?
You know, it's actually funny you ask this. Before we had our first, I asked a bunch of working women, probably 20 or 30 working women, for their one piece of advice on how to be a good dad. And I think all three things they shared are worth replaying here. So I would distill what I learned from them down to three things. The first is babies don't break. Take a deep breath. Like your kid falls off the couch, your kid gets some dirt in his or her mouth, it'll be okay. Babies don't break. Number two was try and be present. You may only get to do this once, and there are so many distractions, and in the moment, they all feel like the most important things in the world. They're not. Try and be present. And the third, which I actually really, really value a lot, is this idea of try not to judge, and maybe you won't be judged in return. What works for your family probably doesn't work for the next door neighbors and vice versa. And if you live and let live, everybody lives a more peaceful and happier life.
Wow. Home run right there, man. Or let me say in this case, hole in one, because that right there, like, I honestly think like, what works for some family might not work for you, and that's okay, right? We live in like this Instagram picture perfect world where like you have that awesome picture at Disneyland, but 3 minutes before, 3 minutes after, everyone's having meltdowns because they're done. So the idea of like just live and let live, and yeah, like the they're not gonna break. I remember when my daughter, my oldest, was born. I'm trying to change the diaper in the hospital. The nurse looks at me and it looks like I'm like taking the onesie, and obviously she's a girl, so I'm trying to be like careful. She's like, "You're not gonna break it." She like actually like hip checks me. She's like, "I'll show you how to do it." I'm like, "Hey, this is my first rodeo. I don't know what I'm doing." So yeah, I'm gonna have some like growing pains.
Live and let live. In fact, there's an author in the book. He works for the Dallas Cowboys. And I know we'll get to the book here in a second, but you know, his, what he wrote, the advice he gave to dads, I thought was so great. He basically says, just keep going. Like, you're doing your best. I know it. You know it. You're definitely screwing some things up. I'm definitely screwing some things up, but just keep going. And it's a reminder, none of us are experts at this. Just keep going.
Yeah. Great transition. So, you know, congrats on your book, The Dad Advice, Words of Wisdom from Guys Who Love Being Dads. Man, this is again my wheelhouse right here. So talk about the little inspiration that you had to start this book.
Happy to. So as I mentioned, we have three boys, 1, 3, and 5. And unfortunately, I don't have a very close relationship with my dad. So about 2.5 years ago, feeling a total void in my life because I didn't have that sounding board, I asked a handful of buddies to write me a letter on how to be a good dad. And what I got back from my friends was just remarkable. Range from David Letterman style top 10 lists to letters they wrote their kids and everything in between. And over the last 2.5 years, the project just snowballed. And I ended up with 42 submissions, mostly stories from guys who are professional athletes in television, my next door neighbor, colleagues, all sharing advice on how to be a good dad.
Nice. I love that. What you said earlier about what works for one family might not work for the next, but what do you hope people will take away from this book? Like for me, like I could imagine like this is a great book that you might not going to have to read from start to finish, but you can pick up certain excerpts and certain blurbs while you're while you're trying to balance work and life, right? And you just need a moment to like refresh. This book is a good way to refresh that. But I'm guessing people can like take a bit of here. It's almost like making your own stew, your fatherhood stew from this book, right?
This is a leave it on the toilet kind of book. I mean, you leave it right there every morning or every night. You pick up and you read a page, read two pages. Each author has his own unique voice that comes through. And yeah, you know, it's interesting. So when my wife read it, she had kind of a cool takeaway. She said, you know, when I read content for moms, oftentimes I finish reading it and I feel less than. I think, man, like I'm not doing all these things that the content told me to do. I'm not that good of a mom. But what's cool about this content, the dads are incredibly humble. They all talk about the mistakes that they're making. And when I finished reading it, when she finished reading it, we both left wanting to be better people, and not just in the context of being parents, but relationships with other people who are meaningful to us in our lives. The book is fundamentally about just being a better human and building closer connections. And whether you're a man or a woman, honestly, even if you're not a parent, there's something in this book, I think, for everyone.
No doubt. And I think, you know, you mentioned kind of breaking the cycle of like having a father figure, right? And I think you're there for your sons. This book is another tribute to them on why you want, like, on how you want to become a better parent, right? I think Art of Fatherhood here is where I want to become a better dad. And I learned from you and other dads I have on the show where I'm like, yeah, I didn't really think about that. I should probably put that in my parenting Rolodex, right? I feel now more than ever, and it's funny too, where like, you know, your wife would read a book that, you know, deals with motherhood. I'm like, man, I'm not doing this. I need to up my game, right? I feel now more than ever, fatherhood is kind of like the new brotherhood, right? Where we're going to try and share our journey. And this generation of our, you know, like we're kind of maybe around the same age. I think you're probably a little younger than me, but like we have this idea of like, let's build this together. Let's build great kids so their future be better. Don't you think, like, especially now more than ever, dads are sharing their feelings in a way that'll be better for our kids, right?
I totally agree. You know, it's fascinating. Men tend to be private and they don't share. We don't share our feelings on many things. But what fascinated me about this is, in a sense, parenting is an equalizer because we're all going through it for the first time when we do. And it's hard. We want to be great at it. And there's no manual. And what was interesting for me is, you know, you look at the list of authors in the book. So half of them you've never heard of before. Remarkable men with incredible stories, but you've never heard of them. The other half are people like Davis Love III and Adam Wainwright and George Tenet, this former CIA director, and Nota Begay and Mark Rolfing. And these are legends of their craft. And when I asked them to contribute a story on how to be a good dad, and for those who I did it over video, it's like their shoulders dropped, they exhaled, a weight had been lifted, and they just got vulnerable and human and started talking about, you know, the trials and tribulations of being a dad. And to me, that was an awesome sign that, yeah, we are living in a time now where people care deeply about being parents and they're willing to share. And that to me is, you know, it's interesting. It's like if you're sick, you don't go on WebMD and type in your symptoms. You go to a doctor who's seen a case like yours 10,000 times before. They've got pattern recognition.
Yeah.
One of the reasons for the Dad Advice Project was to help guys like you and me, Art, find pattern recognition to be better dads.
Oh, I love it, man. This is so great. And, you know, again, having all of those stories from different dads where people, like you said, that are known throughout the world and other dads that people might not know, I think it's great because, like you said, that's the equalizer and everyone feels like they can share on this because, like, yes, even though you might want a, you know, a championship or this or that, it's like he and I can bond over the same, you know, discussion about fatherhood. And I think that this is going to be a great legacy to leave for your sons is because, like, I just kind of did a, you know, The Office with Michael Scott, like, kind of crying tweet when my daughter last week, she's like, hey, Dad, I love this article you wrote about so-and-so. You should write more of these articles. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, I go to your site because our kids are doing virtual. And she goes, I'll go to your site and read your articles. And I think they're fantastic. Thanks for doing that. And I'm like, oh, that just made my day. So when your sons, unbeknownst to you, pick up the book and start reading it, they'll be like, hey, Dad, this was great, right? You're going to feel like, are you kidding me? Right? So you're going to have that moment. So I'm just preparing you for that.
Oh, it's already happened. So the boys know Dad has a book that came out. They asked me to read it to them a chapter a night before bed.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's led to, you know, all sorts of questions like, Dad, you just said the word vulnerability. What does vulnerability mean? It's like, you know, I guess it's never too soon to have real talk with your kids, right?
No doubt. Like that is, oh, that is like the chef's kiss right there, right? Where you have this book about father, you're sharing it with your sons, and then they're asking questions like, what does vulnerability mean, right? And you have that moment where it's like everything stops. It's just you and your sons, and you're having this like, oh, that is like, of course you want this book to sell out. Of course people can go to dadadviceproject.com to purchase this book. And if you're in the space, you're here like learning about father, of course you want to purchase this book. But like right then and there, like that must seem like everything that you wanted to accomplish right there must have been like, this is the fruits of my labor, right, for this book?
100%. It was never meant to be a book. This was meant to be literally a project for me to get advice on how to be a good dad. The thing ended up snowballing, and without the help of the, you know, 42 authors who really bore it all and, you know, shared what was on their hearts and minds, it never would have happened. And as a part of the project, you know, I grew up going to the Boys and Girls Club in San Diego for spring break and for summer camp. So a big portion of the proceeds of the book, if we're lucky enough to, you know, sell more than just a copy to you and me, Art, we'll go back to the Boys and Girls Club.
Nice, man. I think this book will do well. I love it. You kind of mentioned how you balance work and family, being the COO of Topgolf, and the fact that, you know, you bring your kids in. But like, besides that, what are some other things that maybe you do that you can share with others? Because obviously being a COO, you got a lot of responsibilities with all the employees that you mentioned there too. It must be cool, but obviously being a COO, there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of weight on your shoulders. So how do you kind of balance work and family?
I think the most important thing I've learned is the power of the team. So at Topgolf, we have, I mean, truly a world-class team. And I think to be a world-class team, you need a few things, but chief among them is a crazy amount of communication and the ability to support one another. And so we've gotten to a place now with members of our team where it's acceptable and frankly encouraged to say things like, hey, listen, I need to be out of pocket for the next couple hours to do something with my family. Who's got the ball? And getting very, very clear on sort of who's responsible for what. And I think, you know, in the early years of fatherhood and candidly, even in the early years at Topgolf, it was hard for me and for others to do that because people felt this need to prove themselves and show people they were carrying their own water. And I think what we learned is it's actually an even greater strength to be able to say, I got to tap out. I got to go be a good dad or a good husband, or frankly, even get some alone time. Can you cover for me? And when the team feels psychologically safe to be able to do those things, unbelievable things happen.
No doubt, man. You were talking about chills. I'm getting chills. So just think about what you said about when your wife was reading that book and seeing like, man, I need to do more, right? Greg, if you were like, yeah, I know I got my family, I got this and that, but I'm going to keep on striving. I got to, you know, put in 17, 18 hour days. Everyone under you might see that and like, well, look what Craig's doing. I got to do that. I can't ask for this time to go see, you know, my son's first or my daughter's first T-ball game, whatever the case may be. You bring that out there and be like, hey, I'm doing this. Just letting you know, I'm going to be, you know, off the grid for a little bit. You know, you guys pick up this. And then they're like, if you ever need help, you guys can do the same thing. That makes that person want to work harder and being like, I can do this. And I can like, once, if you have a happy life, you'll want to produce more at work, right? So you guys creating that culture is fantastic. So thanks for doing that, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, unbelievably massive team effort to make that happen. We've got a long way to go, but I'm very proud of what we've created here.
Very cool, man. Now we got the fatherhood quick five. Maybe your one-year-old is not like sitting down for the whole movie. And if it's not a movie, if it's a TV show, that's cool. But favorite family movie or TV show you guys like to watch right now is what?
Oof, right now it's probably Free Willy.
Nice. Favorite family song? I think your question hits because of all the, you know, that your kids' ages right now for 1, 3, and 5. So it could be like a nursery rhyme, whatever the case may be. If you don't have a favorite family song, is there a band or an artist you can't wait to introduce your kids to?
Oh, let's be clear. The favorite family song right now is Imagine Dragons, Thunder. And in our house, it's pronounced Lightning and the Funder, Funder. I think it's spelled F-U-N-D-E-R. Everybody knows all the words to that song.
Oh, love it. Nice, man. And again, I know people are starting to kind of get back to normal during this crazy past few years, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Hawaii. Hawaii is our happy place. It's just magical. You get there and you feel the weight of the world lifted off your shoulders, and there's really no place quite like it. We go to the island of Kona, and it's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I heard great things about that. My family and I, we want to venture out there. So thanks for sharing that. And obviously Top Golf, taking away Top Golf for this, but favorite golf course for you is where?
There's so many. I will tell you, the most magical golf experience I've ever had in my entire life is at a place called Cypress Point in Northern California. Absolutely magical. Although I'll tell you, one of the few blessings that came from the pandemic, and I don't want to minimize the pandemic because it's been tragic on so many levels, but golf was one of the few things that was available to, you know, people who decided to pick up a club and go play outdoors. And my wife picked up a golf club for the first time. She and I will now walk 9 holes together on the weekend. She carries her own clubs. And when we finally got vaccinated, we made our way. We played Pebble Beach for the first time ever together. And she carried her clubs for 18 holes. And that was probably the greatest 5 hours we've ever had together. It was great.
I love that. And it's cool. My wife, she golfs too. She's actually like, we moved to North Carolina like in 2015. I have not been to a golf course here at all, but she's been here, especially when her dad comes down to visit. She's like, she's looking to get a new set of clubs as well. So it's like, I love the fact that she goes golf. Now I just got to find, as our kids go, like, all right, maybe we'll sneak away to get 9 in. So I love that. That's great, man. And lastly, top 3 words you hope your sons would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
He's the best.
Nice. Very cool. People, make sure you follow Craig on Instagram at Dad Advice Project and pick up the book Dad Advice Project, Words of Wisdom from Guys Who Love Being Dads at dadadviceproject.com. And of course, whoever books are sold, I'm taking like Amazon, all those good places. Make sure you pick up the book, support Craig, because this book is fantastic. If you love coming here for great fatherhood content, this book is going to have that as well. I wish you and your family continued success, and I thank you for taking time and also putting this great book out there, sir.
Art, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thank you for what you're doing to help all of us dads be better dads, and look forward to staying in touch.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.